Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. Get this. I was the original podcast. You want to talk podcast? Back in 1994, the Talk America Radio Network said to me, you're going on the internet, son. And we're live in like 100 countries. Now it's like almost 200 countries. Bottom line is, we're knocking out bums coast to coast and worldwide on the internet. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, haha, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champ, was nationally ranked as a boxer, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. So I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I'm not buying the pay-per-views, or are you buying the pay-per-views? And guess what? Are you into the zone, or are you stealing the zone? Everybody's like finding ways to steal boxing signals, so I wonder how people are really making any money putting boxing on TV. Straight up, let's talk about it. 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. I'll also delve into the world of CTE today, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I'll talk about Jerry Corey, the heavyweight contender from the 1960s and 1970s, a guy that I interacted with many, many times. Of course, I was doing TV down in L.A. He was doing TV in L.A., so we used to watch each other's broadcasts, but Jerry was a good guy to be around, and Jerry was sharp as a tack. At one point in time, this guy could do the New York Times crossword puzzle in about a half hour. I kid you not. I can't do that. I can't do it. And bottom line's over my head. What I'm trying to tell you is he was a sharp guy, articulate, no doubt about that. Then the residual effects of professional boxing, probably that and a few cocktails because he liked to drink. Okay, Max, an Irish guy liking to drink, coincidence maybe. Anyway, bottom line is Jerry Corey mixing alcohol and boxing, and it was just a bad thing. And then he was about 48, 49 years old, and he had a fight in like 1992 with some guy in Ron Kramer, I think that was in Colorado where they sanctioned the fight. I can't believe they even did it. It should have been illegal. But the bottom line is he was almost beaten to death in that fight. It was merciless. Anyway, we'll talk about that in depth today. 1-800-878-PLAY is 1-800-878-7529. I'll be joined halfway through the show by Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. This is the insider's look into the world of boxing, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And yes, I am the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airwaves. But by now, you already know that.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
There's been a cliche that a black man in this country had either athletics or show business, and that was about all he could make it big in, and you know, for years. That's not true anymore. With that in mind, would you still tell a 12-year-old kid of your own to go into...
Yes? Number one, I say, kid, your chances of being a great fighter are good enough to make a good living is about 100,000 to 1. And if you spend the most of your life trying to be a fighter and you get hurt or you don't make it, your whole life is ruined. It's too late to get education. It's too late to look for a trade or something to fall back on. I say, no, take your mind while you're quick for developing, go to school, learn to read, learn to write, be a mechanic, be a doctor, be a lawyer, get your brains together, box exercises, but get your brains together, get educated, and get a trade, because you might not make it, and there's too much risk involved. No, go to school.
Okay, from a guy that wouldn't quit boxing. Of course, started very young at the age of like 11, 12, and of course he continued until he was like almost 40 years old. Of course, lost that fight October 2nd, 1980. Oh, that thing, and I call it a thing because it was, I cried afterwards. I'm talking about the 10-round loss to Larry Holmes October 2nd, 1980. I mean, I just went back to my hotel room at the Aladdin Hotel, and I was just in tears. It was a horrible night. There's just no doubt to put it. Anyway, bottom line is CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Nobody really wants to talk about it. You don't hear it on any of the boxing shows. Why? Because they didn't box and because they don't give a spit. When I say spit on the show, I mean spit with an H. Because the bottom line is most guys are just boxing fans. And yes, I can be a boxing fan at times too. But the bottom line is, as a responsible journalist, I got to tell it like it is. And boxing is quite dangerous. This is no doubt about it. And as far as kids boxing, I'm going to get into that in just a second. But let me tell you, boxing, football, I think football is worse than boxing. Why do I say that? Because a lot of the guys I went to high school with, they're a little off. And when I say a little off, I mean you look at them and like one eyeball is just a little bit off. And I say to myself, why is that eyeball off in these football players? Of course, I learned that over the years, that that's the neurological damage caught by banging heads back and forth. You see it in certain boxers. I mean, Shane Mosley was one of those guys that looked at me one time and his eye was off, cocked off the other way. And I say to myself, neurological damage is taking place. Of course, Mosley had many of fights. Bottom line is, when you look at the conditions that chronic traumatic encephalopathy bring on, I mean, basically, you're brain dead. That's what happens. Your brain just dies. I mean, you just die slowly. It's a slow, horrible death. You start forgetting things at first. Of course, I forget things all the time. I forget what I walked into rooms for. But the bottom line is, you start forgetting things all the time. And, you know, I mean, headaches and maybe dreams and maybe flashbacks. All kinds of weird stuff happens with guys as their brain deteriorates. And as their brain deteriorates, so does the rest of their body because, you know, the brain runs everything. There's no doubt about it, okay? So when I talk about 15-round fights, and somebody brought this up the other day, you know, they want to bring back the 15-round fight, the World Boxing Association, the WBA, those World of Bunko and Anarchy down there in Venezuela or wherever that, in South America, Panama, Valenzuela, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, they were talking about bringing back 15-round fights. Well, let me tell you about the guys that fought in 15-round fights. Let's go through the guys that fought 15-round fights that I had some contact with or I know what happened to them in and after their careers, okay? Sonny Liston, of course, he died masturbating. Of course, that was like 19—he was almost 40 years old, 1965, 66, something like that. Of course, they found him, Johnny Taco, my good friend, the man that run the Las Vegas boxing gym, of course, the Main Street gym, Johnny Taco, T-O-C-C-O. He found him, of course, on New Year's Eve because he didn't show up for New Year's Day because after he didn't show up for a party on New Year's Eve. But the bottom line is Sonny Liston was dead, and he was dead with his underwear down around his ankles. Now, if your underwear down around your ankles and the door's locked, chances are you're doing something to please yourself. That's what it looked like to me. As a former police officer, that's what I thought when I saw the death picture many, many years ago. Bottom line is Davey Pearl, his ex-manager, the referee for the Tommy Hearns-Ray Leonard fight, the first one back in 1981. Of course, he's the referee for that. He showed me that picture, and I saw Sonny laying on a bed, and the sheets were pulled down, and he was basically naked. And bottom line is if you're naked and your underwear down around your ankles, something's up. Well, maybe something's up. Anyway, I think he came and went at the same time. So that's Sonny Liston. Let's not talk about Sonny Liston. Sonny's not the CTE guy, but Floyd Patterson, 2-time world heavyweight champion. He was a guy real nice to me, no doubt about that, okay? But it was a point in time where he was working as the head of the New York State Athletic Commission where he couldn't remember who his secretary's name was. He didn't know her name. They asked him who his 2-year secretary was in a deposition, and he didn't know. And he couldn't, and you know, after a couple of minutes, you figure maybe it'll come back, right? Well, Floyd was done. Anyway, Floyd, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Ernie Terrell, another guy, held the WBA title, although he didn't suffer the way these other guys did residual effects of professional boxing. I saw him slowing down immensely. Cleveland Cap, Big Cat Williams, a guy that was shot. I kind of put this, Cleveland declined at the end. Of course, professional boxing brought that on. George Chaval was probably the exception to the rule. Zora Foley had his issues. Mildenberger had his issues. And a guy that I knew personally, number 9 ranked in 1964, Eddie Machen from San Francisco, he had real bad issues. After boxing, he was paranoid. There were suicide attempts, things like that. Of course, he lived a couple of blocks from me. And I told you, either he killed himself accidentally or somebody killed him purposely because he fell over a balcony at his apartment building on 29th and Mission here in San Francisco. And falling over that balcony, of course, the balcony was pretty low, and he walked out his door. They said he was a sleepwalker, but he walked out his door allegedly and fell over the balcony. Bottom line is he was dead. I think it was like 1970, 1971. But the bottom line is Eddie's dead, and Eddie suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Muhammad Ali, the greatest fighter of all time. We brought him up, of course, at the opening here. He quit boxing when he was like 39, almost 40 years old. Of course, the fight with Trevor Burbick over in 1981 over in Jamaica, that was the end. Of course, that was the night the Muslims beat up Don King. But the bottom line is, of course, Ali, the residual effects of boxing. You know, 50 years ago, I think it was 50 years ago today, or a couple of days ago, the third Muhammad Ali-Joe Frazier fight took place, the Thriller in Manila. Most people think that's one of the, if not the greatest heavyweight title fight of all time, one of the greatest heavyweight title fights of all time, okay? In my mind, it was the most punishing fight I've ever seen in my life as far as two men just punishing each other. And it was just stone cold. I mean, it should have been X-rated. I mean, it just should have. That's how abusive. They just abused each other. I mean, there was one point, I think, in the 11th or 12th round where Ali unloaded on Joe Frazier. Like, I couldn't believe the man was still standing. But his pride kept him standing. His pride in his good condition, no doubt about that. But the bottom line is Ali was hurt in that fight. He was rock and roll. He rocked and rolled a few times. Both guys were hurt. And when the fight was over in the 14th round, the great Eddie Futch, my good friend, of course, may he rest in peace, and his wife Eva Futch listens to the show once in a while, his widow. Anyway, bottom line is Eddie Futch stops the Thriller in Manila 50 years ago this week with Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier, and he's in Joe Frazier's corner, and he says, son, quote, you got nothing to be ashamed of. I'm stopping this. And then he waved the fight off. And Joe Frazier had nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, that was the most brutal beatdown I've ever seen in my life. But at the same time, Muhammad Ali was quitting in his corner. Cut off the gloves. Cut off the gloves. I'm done. I'm done. Cut off the gloves. Cut off the gloves. I'm done. I'm done. That's what he was saying. Get the gloves off him. He was done. He told me later that it was the closest thing he had ever come to death. Okay. And I said to myself, how do you gauge the fights that Muhammad Ali had as far as the damage received? Of course, there was the Norton fights. He took a licking in the first Norton fight, had his broken jaw. Of course, the third Norton fight, 1978, he was way past his prime, and he probably might have lost that one. I remember Ali telling Ken Norton one point in time in Sacramento, California, years after the fight, hey, champ, you might have got that. You might have got the better of it in that third one. Of course, Ken Norton was acting like an asshole. And of course, I was ready to call security on him. I was doing a PR gig up in Sacramento, and I had George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Muhammad Ali, and Ken Norton. And Ken Norton kept giving Muhammad Ali a bad time. Bottom line is, Ken Norton suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy as well. Of course, all of this stuff, the CT exams or whatever, they come post-mortem. I mean, when you're dead, they can check for CT. They can't really check for it when you're alive. But the residual effects from professional boxing are there. So that's why I'm starting this segment off with Muhammad Ali talking about maybe kids not wanting to box, you know? I got to say this right now. I walked into a boxing Eddie Machen, the aforementioned Eddie Machen, brought me into a boxing gym in 1969 or 1970. I think it was 1970. And I boxed really, you know, I thought I was really good at boxing these one-minute rounds. We went through five or six fights. I think it was six. I want to say 6-0. But the bottom line is a lot of knockouts. Referee stopped the fight because I would run out the corner and blitz guys. That's what I tried to do. I tried to blitz guys until I found a guy that was in better condition than me, and I couldn't blitz him. But the bottom line is I started off with these one-minute round fights. And it was sort of cool. You know, I mean, no, I wasn't a whole lot of damage taking place. I didn't take much damage in sparring because I always wanted to be the better guy. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I didn't believe in practicing. You don't practice getting hit. I never believed that. I mean, you don't practice. I don't have to prove my chin to anybody by getting hit. No. Bottom line is, I knew better than that. So after about six fights, Eddie Machen, who sponsored me sort of and sent me to the Boys Club, the Mission Boys Club, who fought at Columbia Park as well. But the bottom line is, he died. As I said, pushed over that balcony there on 29th and Missions here in San Francisco. So he was dead. So my boxing career was basically dead for a while. And then I moved to South San Francisco. And a couple of years later, I had a Boys Club fight where I had a two-minute fight. Remember this? I was having all these one-minute fights and winning all these one-minute rounds, right? Then I had this two-minute round, and I looked like an asthmatic. I looked like somebody needed to give me an oxygen tank between rounds. I mean, I was just like gassed the whole 9 yards, you know. And that was when I went home that night. My mother told me, she said, you know, if you want to continue to box, she goes, you're going to have to do it right. I mean, my mother telling me this. My mother, come on, you got to be kidding me. She's like 20 years old. You got to be kidding me. She's like, you know, 35. I'm like 14, something like that. She's telling me, you know, you got to dedicate yourself to boxing. I said, what do you mean dedicate myself to boxing? She goes, I'm going to be a running coach. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But the bottom line is, I think I was lucky. And the fact that certain things didn't happen to me. I never got my bell really rung. I never had my bell rung, okay? I mean, I've been knocked out. I take that back. I did against Ernie Chavez in a real fight at 147 pounds, and against Danny Gonzalez, I think, here in the city. He rocked my world a couple of times. And Dave Garcia. I had three guys that hurt me in fights. But the bottom line is, I ended each fight on my feet. But the residual effects don't appear to be there. And I was lucky. And that's what I'm trying to tell you right now. When it comes to kids, I'm not game on kids boxing. I'm not game on kids playing football. You want to play football? Play flag football. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well did he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punched good.
Joe Frazier talking about, of course, being lifted off the ground by George Foreman. George Foreman, of course, he broke into boxing here in San Francisco from, actually, from Houston in the Job Corps. He was a bad kid, you know, getting in trouble with the cops, that kind of good stuff. So they shipped him out of Houston, shipped him to Newark, California, which is across the bay here from San Francisco. And, of course, then he got into boxing in the Job Corps, and he said, you know, I can box. I think the option was you could work hard or you could box. So George sort of took up boxing. Before you know it, the brute was beating up guys in the gym my size. I kid you not, my father once said he was a bully, and that was like in 1967, 1968. I mean, the guy was just the Golden Glove champion here in Northern California, of course, and people were highly, I mean, we thought maybe we have the next heavyweight champion of the world. Of course, we did have the next heavyweight champion of the world, but the bottom line is George had an issue. George was a bully early on. He used to beat up, as I said, beat up guys my size, and he had a bad attitude. He used to bring German Shepherds with him all the time. When he brought that German Shepherd or like three or four German Shepherds with him to Africa, Zaire, Africa, of course, when that's now the nation of the Congo, when he fought Muhammad Ali back in 1974 and lost to Ali, the Thrill in Manila, I mean the Rumble in the Jungle, when he lost that fight, he brought four German Shepherds with him. But guess what? The only people that had German Shepherds in all the country of Zaire at that point in time were white slave owners. So George shows up with the white slave owner's dogs. That's how good George knew how to make his PR go as far as that was concerned. That's why they were yelling, Ali Boumaye. It means Ali kill him. There's no doubt about it. They weren't happy about that. Now, looks like a big fight coming up December the 6th. Pitbull Cruz, not my favorite guy in the entire world. Of course, a guy that I think is an overachiever to an extent, fighting 140 pounds. He probably should be fighting at 130. And I'm not trying to say he's a fat Mexican, but the implications are there. But the bottom line is Isaac Pitbull Cruz and Lamont Roach Jr., are going to hook it up December the 6th on Prime Video pay-per-view. I'll get to that in just a second. But the bottom line is, Lamont Roach Jr., why didn't he sue those people? I mean, I'm talking about the New York State Athletic Commission, Gervonta Davis's camp, Gervonta Davis's promoter, everybody. I mean, why didn't he sue everybody? The guy would have won hands down. I mean, come on. Gervonta Davis takes a knee. Anytime you take a knee in a boxing match, they have to start an eight count. It's mandatory. It's part of the rules. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts around it. You can't, no. Once you take a knee, they start an eight count. They've interrupted the boxing match. That's what you do. You're taking a knee, you're getting a rest. Then he went and ran over to his corner and stuck his head outside the rope, said he had something in his eye or something like that. But the bottom line is, he deserved to have a point taken away for that. Had the point been taken away, the fight would not have been a draw after 12 rounds. Lamont Roach would have won. So Lamont Roach, basically, he should have got the elevator to the penthouse and said he got the shaft. That's just the best way I can put it. It got the shaft, okay? So instead of suing, because he had the same promoter as Gervonta Davis, same handlers and this kind of stuff, you know, same people, same clique, same boxing clique, he didn't want to sue. He didn't want to sue the New York State Athletic Commission. He didn't know. I tried to put this in a publication and send it to him, but the bottom line is he never understood. He never answered. He never understood, I think, what's going on. They didn't know, but they should have sued. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, imagine that. All of this stuff, if people want to deny it, it's on television. How can you deny it's on television? And you cannot say that the referee, by him not taking a point away when he took that knee, he stopped the fight for a second. I'm talking about Gervonta Davis when he took that knee and stuck his head out between the ropes. You can't tell me that the referee didn't gaff there and not take a point. It was a horrible move by the referee, and of course it cost Lamont Roach a fight. And of course, Lamont Roach, that's him in history. I don't think he'll ever be champ. I mean, this is an interim title for the WBA title, 140-pound title, talking about him and Pitbull Cruz. It's an interim title, of course, Pitbull Cruz. I want to say it again. He's a hard guy to fight. There's no doubt about it. He comes to fight. Of course, Rolly Romero's pretty good as well. A lot of guys there, 140, 147 pounds, that are a bit of personalities. Of course, the guy that moved from 147 to 154 without sort of staking his claim was Boots Ennis. I mean, everybody's high on this guy. I don't know. They're talking about boxing God and that kind of good stuff. You got to be kidding me. That guy's like, he's a joke. I don't think he's nearly as good as people think he is. Of course, he's undefeated. As I said, fighting out of the city of brotherly love, and he's evidently sells some tickets there. More power to him. But guess what? The hometown guy in this case just can't fight. Now, bottom line is, Canelo Alvarez, will he retire? Of course, a couple fortnight ago, he loses that 12-round decision, of course, to when he didn't try. You know he didn't try. And you know what? You Mexican fans, I can't believe you guys are like that lame that you won't call him out. You won't. You still won't call him out. He punked you guys. He never tried in that fight. Well, it's okay. Canelo lose. No, he didn't try. He didn't try. He never took a step forward with mean intentions. He never saw the look on his face like, I got to kick your ass, because he didn't want to, because he didn't care, because he couldn't. Okay, but when you're faced in a boxing match, when you come to a point where you either got to like commit yourself and take a risk or lose, either take the risk or you lose. Canelo decided to lose. He didn't want to take the risk, and it was against a smaller guy. Imagine if he fought David Benavidez. I mean, he'd probably be in a morgue right now. I kid you not. I mean, Benavidez would have laid him out. Listen, I don't want anybody to really get hurt in boxing matches. So I talked about that a little bit earlier, okay? The boxing fan of me wants to see entertaining fights. But I'm telling you, if David Benavidez ever fought Canelo Alvarez, David Benavidez would be arrested for domestic violence. I mean, it would be the most mighty beatdown in the entire world. I mean, I can't even see it being close. Mike Tyson and I are both on the same page here. We think that the best fighter in the entire world is the undefeated lad. This is WBC 175-pound champion. Now I'm talking about David Benavidez. Of course, recently, Dmitry Bivol, the unified champion, 175 pounds, allegedly, yeah, all these different interim titles and things like that. But the bottom line is, he had the belts after beating Artur Bitev. But guess what? He decided he wasn't going to fight David Benavidez. He doesn't want to fight Benavidez either. I mean, what does this say about boxing in history? I mean, come on, man. Imagine if Joe Frazier decided he wasn't going to fight Muhammad Ali. I mean, come on, think about that. Imagine if Joe Frazier said he wasn't going to fight Muhammad Ali. I mean, where would we be? Where would we be? Come on. You think the sanctioning bodies would have stepped in at that point in time? Maybe the athletic commissions? Of course, the athletic commissions had a lot more role, a lot more power in the sport of boxing back then than they do now. Straight up, the boxing's run by bandits. I want to say that. Mauricio Sulaiman, I call him Mauricio Sulaiman, of the president of the World Boxing Council, the world of bunko and chicanery, or bureaucracy and chicanery, call it what you want. But the bottom line is, I've got problems with him. I think he's part of the problem, not part of the solution. If he wants to clean up boxing, all he's going to do is get on the phone. He knows it. He knows my number, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-75. You know, but Mauricio knows it. And Mauricio, listen, let me tell you about Mauricio. We were doing WBC TV, I guess, what was it, a year and a half ago? Something like that. We were doing WBC TV. The Impeccable One was producing this. And we were doing WBC TV. And Tommy D and I said something on a Sunday show that the WBC should be banned or something like that if they allow this Oshaki Foster or Canseco fight. Of course, the kid from down south in South America, Robinson Canseco. Bottom line is, it was a ripoff. They stole it from Oshaki Foster. I mean, they stole it so bad. It was like a 9-3 fight or a 10-2 fight. Imagine a fight going 10-2 and then they give it to the other guy. I mean, 10 rounds to 2 and then they give it to the guy that on your card only won 2 rounds. Listen, I got a problem with that. I was a registered judge with the Association of Boxing Commissions for nearly a decade. Okay, so I know how to score a fight. I know how to break down. The 4 criteria is, of course, effective aggressiveness, ring generalship, defense, and clean punching. It all boils down to clean punching for the most part. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter. But the bottom line is, when it comes to clean punching and boxing, Canelo Alvarez never landed any clean punches with Terrence Crawford. He never did. I mean, it was so pathetic, and nobody wants to call him on it. The Mexican people won't call him on it. I mean, he's been pissing on you people for 3 or 4 years now, charging you for fights that really aren't fights. They're exhibitions. They're appearances. I mean, when he fought Gennady Golovkin after losing the first time, Golovkin got the decision there. Then he lost to Aracely Lara, got the decision there. So there's two fights in which we know Canelo lost and that he won. He was a benefactor as far as the judges were concerned, okay? But, of course, that didn't work that last time. They tried to. Those two judges had won, 115, 137 to 5 in rounds. For Canelo, Terrence Crawford over Canelo Alvarez. Think about that. 7-5 in rounds in a fight that I scored 9-3. I could have pushed it and called it 10-2. I mean, the only rounds that Terrence Crawford lost were the rounds in which he took time off. He wanted to reserve himself. He was a smaller guy coming in, allegedly. He was a smaller guy coming in, but guess what? He didn't turn out to be the smaller guy. That being said, he's not a 168-pounder. I just don't think he is. So as far as him fighting David Benavidez, if Benavidez was coming down to 168 again, first of all, I think that would be detrimental for his weight concern because, you know, David's a former fat guy. He's like 205, 210 pounds, walking around 215 pounds. Then he lost all this weight to boxing. In between fights, he looks like a doughboy. So I don't think that he can make 168 pounds without cutting off his cutting off an intangible. So the bottom line is he's not fighting 168. 175, he's a king. No doubt about that. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. On the other side of the break, I hope to bring back boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide being recorded on Friday.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time.
800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works, and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If I can't teach you one way, I'll teach you another. But I'm going to get the job done.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA as I struggle to get Socrates Palmer on a phone line or a Twitch line or whatever the Skype line, what do they call it, threads now, bottom line, we're trying to get him as I speak. But of course, I talked about Lamont Roach and Pitbull Cruz going December 6th on Prime Pay-Per-View. Of course, Prime Pay-Per-View is now taking over, or trying to take over an aspect of boxing. Sheik, whatever, Turkey Jerky, not my favorite guy, know that about that, but he's got a role in this. Of course, they are looking to dismantle the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act. Of course, the Muhammad Ali Boxing Act was from 1996. It was written by Senator John McCain and a couple other people that wanted to look out. Well, they wanted to look out for boxers, okay? That was the intent of the act. There's no doubt about it. Of course, it became law. And then now, of course, Dana White and his people want to drop it from Muhammad Ali Pro Boxing Act, the Muhammad Ali Revival Act. They want to revive what? By making guys take $50,000 for a fight instead of for a fight that maybe you deserve $500,000 for? Is Socrates ready to go? Man, this is a disaster today. My guy's laughing in the other room, but I'm freaking out here. Of course, this is a bit of a disaster. Socrates was supposed to be on here like 15 minutes ago, and he's not on the line. He keeps saying he can hear us. We can't hear him. So obviously, Socrates is still getting, he's stealing that Wi-Fi from the gypsies. See, that's what happens. Socrates and Tommy D, every once in a while, we get a bad phone line because they steal their Wi-Fi from the gypsies. And we know who the gypsies steal their Wi-Fi from. You. Straight up, this is Ring Talk, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, 50 years, October 1st, 1975, Muhammad Ali, of course, and Joe Frazier. I said the most brutal heavyweight title fight in all time. As far as it was the most brutal fight of all time. Of course, I thought was probably one of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time outside of that one. And that was, of course, Ike Abeyabuchi and David Tu when I did it for HBO International up there in the 90s. Of course, that was from Sacramento, California. Both guys were on top. Abeyabuchi, of course, he rose to stardom that night when he beat David Tu, down. David Tu, of course, was a guy that at one point in time was a heavyweight rage. I mean, no doubt about it. He was knocking everybody dead. He just was. He was a Samoan. They called him the throwing Samoan. But guess what? He turned out to be the slowing Samoan because he gained about 15 pounds. Once he gained 15 pounds, it was just like, you know, he got slow. There's no doubt about it. Now, speaking of slow, it was slow to get this connection. So, with that being said, let's go to the Bronx or bring in the Bronx Bomber, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Do I blame you for that gypsy Wi-Fi again?
No, I will not take the blame.
you blame it on the, is the sports byline gaffed again?
I don't like to point fingers, but, you know, if it looks like a duck.
Hey, listen, okay, whatever day this is, hold on, what day is this? October 3rd, he don't commit gaffes. He doesn't make mistakes. So I'm trying to tell you that the impeccable one is flawed today. That's just the best way I can put it. Because he never makes a mistake. He doesn't miss a beat in anything. So if he missed a couple of beats today, it's been a long week, no doubt about that. But I think he's got tomorrow off and he comes back, of course, and does a Sunday edition with me of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now, Cecilia Brakett, she's getting out of women's boxing. She had a good little run, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. You know, she has the distinction of saying that she was the last fight on HBO. You know, she a remarkable story, right? She grew up in Norway, and a population. I think you could count the number of colored people that live there.
Me? Hey, wait, time out. Hold on. I'm a colored Norwegian. Mm-hmm. I'm a Norwegian. In fact, when my mother was stone cold 100% Norwegian. Okay, so as was my grandmothers and grandfathers, that kind of good stuff on that side of the family. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when I used to go into doctors' offices in the 60s, in the early 70s, with my mother, they would never call Mrs. Fernandez because they would look outside and see this white lady. So she had to announce herself.
Wow.
No, that's what she told me. I mean, at one point, she had to go announce herself. I mean, they just wouldn't call her. But, you know, it was a little rough for her having dark kids, especially me. I mean, I was like black. Black is like coal. I just was had this nappy hair the whole nine yards. I looked like a little brother. And, of course, in the 1960s, sometimes that rubs certain people the wrong way. Of course, I had a mouth, too.
Bad combo, huh?
Yeah, bad combo. I wouldn't take any smack. I don't want to brag or boast, but I'm going to tell you, I think if I wasn't racially oppressed growing up, I wouldn't have been the bad mother ducker I turned out to be.
You built character.
I never lost a street fight. I prepared myself mentally and physically every single time out. I mean, there were times when I fought guys I shouldn't have been fighting this and that, but I had the will and the condition and the smarts in order to wear these guys down. And once they're tired, once big guys are tired, they're done. Stick a fork in them. It's like a ball with no air in it.
Yeah. Let me flip the script on you. If you had a guy that had a lot of will and just a hard worker, if you were a trainer, or would you take the guy with the talent?
I would take the guy with the talent first, because I think I can try to instill the right behavior in him. But if you've got a guy that doesn't have the talent to begin with, you're starting off with less than a dozen eggs.
I hear you, but I really believe, though, that work ethic is in your DNA. I just think people are just wired a certain way, like a no quit. You know, guys that
I was afraid of losing.
There you go. Whatever works, you know, to motivate you.
I mean, the thought of losing, oh, my God, I don't know if I told you, but 52 fights, and the ones I remember the most are not the Golden Glove title wins. They're the loss. The one Golden Glove title loss that I lost, I got 2 points taken away. They said I was holding. I was kicking his ass, what he was doing. But bottom line is, but they took away 2 points. And get this one. About 20 years later, the referee that took away the 2 points – and it was bad. It was just Manny Smarty Sam did it. It was like you could tell that something was up when he's taking away these points. Okay, but when he took away these 2 points in 1992, he told me in Malaga, Spain, at a WBC convention, I got him drunk. Right, I got him drunk, and the referee told me they told me to be tough on you and not let you get away with anything. I said, so that's why you took away the 2 points? He goes, I'm sorry. I said, no, don't worry about it. I said, I lost that first championship fight, that 3-2 split. I said, but I never lost another championship fight in my life. I won 4 straight. So, or three of five. But the bottom line is, you know, Marty, I mean, it was a little weird. Imagine that, a referee telling you, like, you know, many, many years later, you know, I sort of like screwed you in that fight.
Played on his conscience.
Yeah, I guess it did weigh on his conscience. And go, you know, but those are the ones I remember the losses more than I remember the wins. Does that make me, am I a negative guy or what?
No. Are you kidding me? I remember watching an interview with Bill Walton, the most successful college player of all time, and he says he remembers the loss to Notre Dame the most. You know, a guy that won like 70 games in 3 years. So, no.
Hey, who was the coach down there at UCLA? What was his name?
John Wooden.
John Wooden. John Wooden allowed Bill Walton to smoke weed. He didn't care. He said, go ahead, smoke all the weed you want. Bill, he didn't care.
I think John is, you know, he kind of gets, he's got like this Mother Teresa aura about him, but John knew when to look the other way.
No,
if you're talented enough.
If it was work for him and this guy was like the best player in college basketball, why upset the apple cart?
Yeah. Now, if, you know, I'm pretty sure if it was the 12th man on the bench, I'm sure, you know, maybe Coach Wooden would not be as lenient, but when you have the best player in the country, you know, you tend to bend the rules a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking about Jaron Ennis earlier. Of course, he's taking on Usma Lima. It's going to go down to Wells Fargo Center, Philadelphia. Of course, that's where he's from. It'll be on The Zone October 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock here on the West Coast. How come Jaron Ennis, in my opinion, has undelivered? Am I knocking him?
No, I think you're spot on, which is kind of like what I was saying. You know, do you prefer the guy with the talent or the guy with the work ethic? You know, the guy that at one point was considered the savior. I know you want both, but you know, like I said, it's not always putting people. You know, when they come out the fabric out of the factory. You know, Big Baby, he's missing something. He obviously has the skills. But I don't think he's mentally tough enough. I think,
he's lacking the intestinal fortitude. He lacks intestinal fortitude and the stones to take on any fight that's even relatively challenging.
Yeah. That's about it. I think to him it's just a check, you know.
I mean where else if Bailey could have, if Bailey could have made 154, it'd have been him and Bailey. That's what it boils down to. I mean, listen, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania brought us, you know, some great fighters, no doubt about that. And of course, the last one being the executioner, Bernard Hopkins. But Jaron Ennis doesn't fight. He doesn't fight in the Philly mold.
You know, I you talked about gaps. I'm sorry. I got my fighters confused. Yes, Boots Ennis. He's got a lot of talent, and a lot of people say that in the gym, he's the most talented fighter that I've ever seen. But you're right. I think that there's still a question mark. You know, does he dare to be great? You know, he could have had the fight with Virgil Ortiz, it was said, and he turned it down. He could be the franchise fighter that Philly is kind of always known for. You know, very few cities have like a franchise guy.
No, I think you're overestimating his actual talent and ability. I don't think he's that good. I think that he's missing. I'll put it this way. I'm trying to be nice here. He has stones the size of a hamster.
Ouch. That's rough.
No, that's the truth.
But they haven't been proven yet, though. He hasn't been in a war.
The mere fact that he hasn't is indicative of that. The mere fact he hasn't taken on a fight in which anybody better than Bailey and me. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't. I mean, the bottom line is he's really been selective in his opponents. He left 147 without taking care of business there. He's now at 154. I'm expecting him to pull a couple of moves at 154 and then make it to 160. I think this guy's trying to collect belts.
You know, you can say he's also been maybe a victim of politics, but that fight with Stantonius, who was the number one but he was also fight Virgil Ortiz a couple of times, and those fights fell through. That guy was no slouch, and he beat the fight out of him. You know, so I'm gonna push back a little bit. I think Boots is talented, but he also needs the right dance partner to bring out that greatness out of him. And unfortunately, they have not been able to make that big fight. Now the onus is on Eddie Hearn, right? That's his promoter. Is he going to be able to get him the biggest fight possible, which is Virgil Ortiz?
Well, if he wanted to fight with Ortiz, it would have taken place already. Of course, they say maybe they need to put a little more water on this plant and make it grow. This thing. I think any fight involving Virgil Ortiz right now, it smells like a superstar fight. Because I think Virgil Ortiz, if he wins the next couple of fights, he's going to be boxing's poster boy.
Well, we know he has the talent. You know, he's got the fan base, you know, the Mexicans. He's also American as well, so he's got that going for him. And he fights exciting. You know, people, you do not feel cheated when you watch a Virgil Ortiz fight. You saw what he did to Madrimov, you know, who gave Terrence Crawford, you know, tough time. So,
okay. Pitbull Cruz and Lamont Roach, is that a fight?
Wow, man, Lamont Roach. You almost feel bad for the guy that
I do,
you know,
feel bad for him.
Foot.
I mean, here's what's up. The guy should be a zillionaire right now, and he's not. He should have a title. He should be a zillionaire, and boxing mucked him over. And guess what? He bent over for them. He bent over. I mean, he could have done something. He could have got himself another attorney, all that kind of good stuff. He decided he would go along with the plantation, the PBS, whatever it is down there, the PBC or Leikowitz, whoever, Samson League, whoever it is. Bottom line is, he went along with the plantation, and he wouldn't buck the trend, and it cost him.
Yeah, but I mean, and also the fact that Tank made him wait. You know, he put his career on hold, and then he went and took the circus money of Jake Paul. You know, I think it's a tough fight too. It's not like it's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, fighting Pitbull Cruz, and obviously he's going to throw a fraction of the money that he would have gotten against Tank Davis.
Straight up, have a great weekend. No doubt about that. You kiss the wife, hug the kids, the whole nine yards. Say hello to Tommy D for me, and we'll talk soon.
All right, my brother. Thank you for having me on.
Boxing's PhD, the great Socrates Palmer on Sports Byline.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
That was Mike Tyson's farce with Roy Jones. Remember that a couple of years ago, of course, and he had the thing with Jake Paul. Now he's going to have something with Floyd Mayweather. You know, I don't want to wish anything bad on somebody, but if he had like a heart attack or something like that, something, not maybe a heart attack, but something that would set him back and not allow him to do that, I would be somewhat ecstatic. Because the bottom line is Mike Tyson is tarnishing his image, of course, making all kinds of money, but the bottom line is, who cares? UFC going tonight, Saturday night, of course, in Las Vegas at T-Mobile Arena. Alex Pereira trying to recapture the UFC light heavyweight championship from Magomed Ankalaev. Of course, Ankalaev is a once-beaten fighter, great fighter, no doubt about that, as is Alex Pereira. I'm not a fan of this type of fighting because I think it's a little bit too brutal. We want to talk about CT. Good Lord. I mean, this is the way to get it. This is no doubt about it. Corey Sandhagen's on the same card versus Mirab Dvalishchi. That's going to be a great fight at 118. I think about 135 pounds of bantamweight. Bantamweight at 118, that's boxing. Bantamweight 135, that's MMA. And a light heavyweight bout, a guy that I think that, God, the beating he took a couple of fights ago was the most horrific beating I've ever seen in a UFC fight. And I've seen a lot of beatings, but this was just horrific. I'm talking about Khalil Roundtree Jr. How that guy got stitched up and put his face back together, I have no idea. But the bottom line is he's taking on a guy by the name of Jiffy Paragacha, something like that. Bottom line is Josh Emmett, Yusuf Talai. Of course, Joe Pyler's on the card. Good card, no doubt about that. Of course, that is the UFC pay-per-view card coming to you from T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada, 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern time. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. And guess what? He's still impeccable because it turns out out, there was a switch in the back room that the president here, the guy that runs this joint, didn't hit at the right time after a broadcast or something like that. So we take the blame off the Impeccable One shoulder, so he's still undefeated. He's still unbeaten. I mean, good Lord, unbeaten for like, you know, years now. Straight up, he's impeccable. No doubt about that. Of course, I thank him week in and week out, the great Bailey Peck, my producer. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, coming to you live from the Sports Byline Studios. Don't forget the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, or on these same stations that you're listening to right now, as well as Twitch.tv. Straight up, we'll bring in retired HBO Godfather Larry Merchant. We're going to look back on the Thrill of Manila and some other things. Straight up, this has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.